Welcome to Elevate Her Podcast, where women in the insurance industry have stimulating conversations, giving you a real insight into the insurance industry through the lens of women. I'm your host, Edwina McKinnon, and I am so excited to have you tuned in yet again, another episode and another opportunity to elevate her. I've been in the industry for over a decade, and I'm so happy to be here today bringing women together in the insurance industry to have meaningful conversations to help everyone, no matter your role, the length of time you've been in the insurance industry, or your professional background. In each episode, you'll experience thought-provoking conversations that really spark innovation, and it really changes the landscape of what people consider social norms in the insurance industry. Today, you will hear from women with the brightest minds in the insurance industry. We'll be making an impact by confronting challenging topics, sharing our experiences, and providing real actionable advice to you all. I would love to take this opportunity to introduce and welcome you to my panel of exceptional women to the Elevate Her podcast. So at this time, we're going to kick things off and go round table and introduce these wonderful ladies. Let's start off with Lisa.
Thanks, Edwina. My name is Lisa Wolf, and I'm really excited to be here. I think this is a great platform, and I'm excited to share some gems with you today. I've been in the insurance industry for over 15 years. I've served in various roles. And had the opportunity to, you know, build a network and a circle of influence of some great women in this career. One thing I like about what I do is it allows me the opportunity to empower others by utilizing experience and skills within the insurance industry. And it also affords me the ability to coach and mentor others as well, which is something I'm passionate about.
Awesome, Lisa. And I can hear the passion in your voice. I just love that. And thank you for sharing and welcome to the Elevate Her table. Now we're going to flip over to Emma.
Hi, thank you again so much for having me on here. I feel really honored to be with you brilliant women and, you know, working to elevate other women in the industry. My first name is Emma, last name Gimicelli. I'm currently a commercial account manager. Just got into the insurance industry a little over a year or two ago, and really excited to keep helping other women in this industry. So,
thanks so much, Emma, and we're happy to have you. And we're going to then turn to Leanne.
Thank you, Edwina, so much for the opportunity to be a part of the podcast. I'm happy, like Emma said, to be amongst great women and be able to share conversations with them. I have personally been in the industry for 5 years now. I started straight out of university as a direct writer, and throughout my career, I've worked myself up to a senior E&O underwriter. I've been very fortunate along my journey to have many women that have been great mentors to me and have led me along the way. So I'm happy to now be in a position where I can do the same for others. So I definitely look forward to having this conversation.
Awesome. Today is episode 6, and our topic is imposter syndrome. This topic really resonates with me. And I think before we get into the topic of imposter syndrome, I feel like we should start off with, like, what is imposter syndrome? And I'm actually going to read to our listeners right now a definition of what that means. So imposter syndrome means it's loosely defined as doubting your abilities and feeling like a fraud. It's where you have these high achieving people who find it difficult to accept their accomplishments. And many start to question whether they deserve these accolades that they're receiving. And I'll just, like, start it off with this conversation, like, just like listening to the definition, I'm going to be so transparent. I deal with imposter syndrome all the time. And it's something that even in this moment I'm dealing with right now. And sometimes, like, I'll sit there and, you know, I start to think, is it just me? Is it just me going through this? Is it just me having this emotion. And that's why I wanted to bring you ladies to the table, because I feel like, is it just me that's going through this imposter syndrome and I'm still going through it? Just love to hear from anybody to let me know if this is just me.
It's not just you. I think it's something that a lot of women go through. I think, you know, our ability to want to be successful, want to climb the ladder, want to always achieve, it creates that doubt within yourself sometimes, where you're always second guessing, is it enough? Have I done it? Am I really supposed to be here? So I wouldn't say you're alone. I think if you speak to a lot of women, it's something that they deal with on a consistent basis as well. And the other day I was listening to something and a light bulb went off when we're talking about imposter syndrome. One of the things within our career is that a lady was saying that it's when women apply for a role, they want to make sure that they've hit every single thing within the qualifications. Whereas, you know, sometimes a man will apply for the role and they'll have one qualification and they think they're qualified and ready to go, but we will sit there and second guess ourselves and make sure we've hit every single one of those qualifications before we think we're ready to apply. So I do think it's something that we deal with on a consistent basis, and I don't think you're alone in that journey.
You know, Lisa, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I've actually had that experience more than once, where I've seen a job posting and I've had to mentally, you know, tell myself, you know, I know you don't think you're qualified for this, but take the leap anyways and see what happens. And that was a conversation I had to have with myself. It wasn't something that I would just naturally apply. You're right. My natural reaction was to keep scrolling because I didn't think it'd be something that I'd be qualified for. And the job that I have currently, I didn't think I was qualified for, and I ended up getting the role. So I think that is definitely a topic for conversation, as why we as women constantly doubt ourselves or doubt our abilities, whereas men maybe don't have that same block in front of when you are looking for a job.
Yeah, honestly, I find a lot of the jobs I've gone into, I have done a mental check with myself where I thought, if I was a man, would I be doubting myself right now? And not to say that men never doubt themselves, but when I think about it that way, I think, well, looking from that point of view, I would think they'd go for it. So why am I not going for it? And I find that's a good little mental check, because I experience it all the time. I think, oh, I can't do this, or oh, I'm going to need to have more training or something. But really, if you have that confidence and you just go for it, a lot of the time it really is rewarding.
Yeah. And I agree with every one of you. There was like a time when, like I mentioned, I thought it was just me. So I started actually going online and just Googling, you know, I didn't know what the terminology, right, was called. I didn't know it had a name. So it's funny, online, it makes you, it presents it sometimes like it's a disorder, like a mental, how do I say it? Like an actual disorder, right? Like anxiety, mm-hmm. But it's not. And there was a stat that I came across where it actually said 70% of women suffer from imposter syndrome. And it happens a lot in their career, it said, where especially when you're trying to get up the ladder, or you're recently promoted, or you're getting into the insurance industry, like you go through this feeling where you feel like you're faking, right? Is this happening for real? But I remember as I was growing up, there was a quote that my mom used to say to me. I don't know if it was a quote or if she just made it up, but she's like, you got to fake it till you make it. And I don't know if anybody's ever had anybody say that to you.
I've heard that quote before, fake it until you make it.
Yeah.
And I think it's Richard Branson. He has a quote that it's something similar to that. But it's not really faking it until you make it. I think you know, as you progress, you want to be stretched. So you can't be at 100% if you're going to be stretched. You got to give yourself room to grow and learn and be able to make mistakes. And that's what we need to learn and kind of mentor going forward. When we see other women, it's okay to make mistakes. We're not perfect. And sometimes failing is the best thing that could happen to you, because it redirects you or it gives you perspective. So that fear of not being qualified, or that fear of getting it wrong or making a mistake, I think we need to learn to embrace that more as we go along and as we grow and develop. And I think we need to encourage people that, yeah, you're going to make mistakes, but it's what you learn from that mistake and how you redirect yourself after you've made that mistake. That's what counts.
I feel like it's so important that we're supporting each other when we're going through those mistakes. We're so hard on ourselves. If you can have those cheerleaders there for you, you know, can, when you're not able to cheerlead yourself, make all the difference.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's important to note that, you know, every new position is going to have a learning curve. We can't internalize those mistakes as something that's inherently wrong with us, when realistically, it's going to take some time for anyone to get a hold of a new position. And I think that's why it's so important to have mentors or trainers that you can talk to about those feelings that you're having when you accept a new position, because 9 times out of 10, they probably had the same feelings when they started as well, and can probably offer some tips to offset the way that you're feeling. So I think it's definitely, like you said, Emma, it's important to have kind of cheerleaders there in your corner and people that you trust that you can go to.
Yeah, that's true. And something that I just kind of noted is like, and I agree with this, as women, we have to work 10 times harder than our counterparts. If we show up at the table with, like, if we have to go up for a job, let's say, and we have to go up against, let's say, our opposite male counterpart, it's almost like, you're right, we got to sit there and check off all the boxes, and then we create our own boxes that we got to check off. Like, and then we're sitting there like, okay, maybe there's more boxes that we got to check off. And then we're looking at 10X, right, from our counterparts. And I wanted to just kind of focus on that, because I know, Emma, our listeners are new to you. So I would love for you to talk about, you know, your imposter syndrome that you dealt with just recently as we went through the pandemic.
Out of college, I had a few months where I was unemployed, and I applied to a brokerage and ended up getting into the commercial industry. And at the beginning, it was really tough, because I definitely did feel like an imposter at times. And I think you're going back to the mentors, you get a mix. So some people, when you interact with them, sometimes you feel worse. And that can really be hard if you don't have more supportive people in your corner. So when I was applying for jobs, I didn't just have one or two mentors from one specific industry. I had a career advisor that was like really close with me. She was an amazing woman, Kimberly Johnson. I had my professor, who was like industry specific, supporting me. I made sure to have, you know, my mom, of course, very helpful to have as support. But I just think you need those people to really like shake out of this imposter syndrome when you can't do it on your own.
Yeah, it's very important to have that foundation, right? And you want to have people around you that provide you with that support. I always say it's good to have a diverse type of people around you, like people that are going to tell you no, right? People that are going to say N-O, no. I know sometimes we get comfortable with having like yes people around us, but I feel like we have to have like that diverse, right? And that's really going to help us with that imposter syndrome, I believe, because you get the flip coin of things that you're getting into. And it's always good. Like for me personally, I love to have people around me where I can bounce ideas off of or feelings off of. And I feel like that's really important. And when we look at Elevate Her, right, the podcast, this was one of the reasons why I put it together, is because women were suffering in silence, right? There was only a few events happening. And I feel like with this happening, bringing 500 women to the table, that's my goal this year with Elevate Her podcast. We really are going to start to develop and cultivate a community. But I would actually love to hear from you, Lisa, because I know you come with a wealth of experience, especially from the underwriting journey of life. I would just love to hear, like, has there ever been a time specifically that you've actually felt and had to deal with imposter syndrome? And if you can just like let get our listeners to go with you through that journey and how you felt, and then was there people around you to help you through this journey, and how did you kind of face this imposter syndrome?
Yes, I have faced imposter syndrome. I mean, it has been a journey of ups and downs, peaks and lows. Changing roles, moving to different companies. You spend a number of years with one company. I think the first time I was at an organization for almost 9 years. And, you know, I felt stagnant and I felt stuck. And I was like questioning myself and questioning my capabilities. So at that time, you know, I needed to break out. And in order to do that, I did have a good network. And I'm part of a really good network and a group of women who are strong, and they provide that guidance and they provide that advice. And as you said, Edwina, they've come from various backgrounds, so they're not always saying yes to everything you say. There's a variety of opinions, and you know, they can give a different outlook and different perspectives. So surrounding myself with that network, I think, has been very helpful when you're second guessing yourself all the time and you're not really sure what to do. It provides you perspective. And I think the challenge, not only did I have imposter syndrome, but it's for me, it was the lack of visibility. I wasn't seeing myself being reflected at certain levels within the industry. And, you know, it's not because, and then you start to second guess, well, is it because we're really not qualified, or is that just an imaginary ceiling that we need to break through, and what needs to happen for us to break through it? So I think, you know, when I look at things now, they're 100% better. And things are different, and we're starting to get there, and we're having the conversations. So you're starting to see that momentum, and you're starting to see, you know, you're starting to see yourself being reflected, and you're starting to see that visibility, which is very important too, especially with imposter syndrome. It's one thing to question yourself, but then when you're not seeing anything else out there that's reflective of who you are, that's another layer of challenge that gets added to the situation as well.
So powerful, Lisa. Like, just listening to what you said, there was like so much things that I resonated with. Like, just for clarity purposes, when you talk about the lack of visibility, is that representation that you're speaking about?
Yes, representation that I'm speaking about. People that look like me. and so I think that is something important. It's one thing to have other women and mentors, but what makes it tangible is when you see someone that looks like you, because then you can believe. It puts perspective on it. It makes it reachable. So I think that's very important for us as well.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, coming into the industry, there wasn't a lot of people that looked like me. So when I was trying to sit down to create my goals, I remember first year in the industry trying to create goals. And if we talk about representation and why it's important, if I have nobody to look up to, and if I don't see somebody that looks like me in a position in C-suite as an example, how do I write that goal down? How do I make it a goal, especially when I'm dealing with imposter syndrome, Lisa?
Exactly.
It's like layers. And this is why, you know, I really feel like imposter syndrome happens with a lot of our like minorities, right? Because like, let's talk about it. Let's put that stinky fish on the table. This is why I love conversations, right? So like, it's important.
It is important because it's necessary. Like you question yourself all the time. And then when you're not seeing yourself reflected, you start to question yourself even more. So I think it is important. Visibility is important. It's the community. It's feeling welcome. As they say, it's like you feel like you belong, right? So when you're dealing with imposter syndrome and you're already questioning yourself, and then you don't feel, you have that added layer where you don't see yourself represented. And so you really don't feel like you belong. It's nice when someone's there that looks like you and you can say, okay, yeah. So now I know it's achievable. Now I know I can get there, and you can figure it out along the way.
Yeah. And I think now we are seeing more diversity. Are we seeing more diversity in the C-suite?
That's still a challenge. And I mean, we're getting there. And it's not going to happen overnight, but we have to continue to encourage each other, build platforms like yours, and continue to have our voice be heard out there and make things tangible, make things happen.
Yeah. Leon, what's your thoughts? Have you ever went through a situation where you felt about, like, where you felt that imposter syndrome, and just if you can let our listeners kind of follow you through that journey, and how did you handle yourself? How did you feel? Like, what did you do in that moment, and how did you get over it?
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely had multiple run-ins with imposter syndrome. I've become accustomed to that for sure. I think a notable experience for me was actually when I went into professional lines underwriting. So prior to that, I was a PNC underwriter. So the jump was quite a large one. It felt like I was learning a new language. And that learning curve, I really internalized it and felt that, you know, am I smart enough for this? Am I going to pick this up and be able to take this role on? And it's funny, that role was actually one that I didn't think I was qualified for, but I applied anyways and got the job. So that even added another layer. I thought maybe I shouldn't have applied. Maybe this was something that I actually am not qualified for. But the way that I was able to navigate that was I had a mentor there, another woman who was great. She was really funny, really easy to talk to. And I could talk to her about my feelings about the job. Like, I'm not understanding this. You know, I need a little bit more help on this. And the way that I did that was I tried to learn as much as I could on my own, find out what I could on my own. And then when I couldn't solve the problem on my own, I then took that to her and told her what steps I took to find out the information on my own. And that helped me feel more self-sufficient and helped her show her that I was, you know, trying and that my question is valid. And funny enough, my second bout of imposter syndrome in that job came after 10 months when she resigned. So I was left to run professional by myself. That was a huge, huge imposter syndrome because I had only been doing it for 10 months. I was like, I don't have the time. I don't have the experience. And I sat with those emotions for a while. I didn't talk to anyone about it. And I think that was had a really negative impact on my mental health. But the way that I got over that is I ended up talking to one of my colleagues who also was a niche lead in a different department. And, you know, he just told me, like, your feelings are normal. You can't turn around a whole department by yourself overnight. Things are not the way they are because of you. There's multiple market factors that are playing in the way things are playing out. So speaking with him really helped me overcome that. And I felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I think we have to be more comfortable speaking to people about how we're feeling instead of trying to hold everything in and solve everything on our own.
Yeah, it really takes a village, right? And something that you talked about, right, is you talk about speaking. And I think that's been something that's been lacking in our industry, women being fearful to talk to one another. Starting to get, like, I was feeling like it was becoming very competitive, but I started to take a step back, right, to figure out why isn't women speaking? Why isn't women trying to elevate each other as much as we can? And I'm not saying that we aren't doing a good job, but we can do better. And I think it's important, right, to have that, be able to have that conversation. But when we look at it, you know, when we go back to Lisa's point, sometimes there's not enough space at the table for us, and it creates that competitiveness, right, amongst us. So we have to look at the table now, and we're in the 21st century, right? We need to see more of our faces. So Leanne, thank you for applying for that job, right? Because if you didn't apply for it and you didn't move into that role, right, somebody else wouldn't have been able to make that a part of their goal, right? So if I can tell the listeners anything, and all of my speakers today, is apply for that job. You are worthy, right?
Yeah.
Like, you are worthy. Your voice matters, right? And I think us women, we're so tough on ourselves. Like, we stress ourselves out. And if we look at, like, you know, Emma talked about, like, the male component, like, we are so powerful. And I feel like the women in the insurance industry, we have the vision, but we need to keep pulling up chairs to the tables, right? And making sure our voices are heard. Emma, is there ever a situation that you can recall, maybe recently, right, that where you faced imposter syndrome, and how did you feel in that moment? What did you do to get out of feeling like that?
When it comes to imposter syndrome, it's about how you view yourself. So going back to what you said about the fake it till you make it, that's a really tough statement when you're faking it maybe for everybody else and not yourself. So, you know, you're dressing right, you know, you have good posture while you're sitting and talking to someone, but inside you're like, I don't feel confident, or that I deserve it, or whatever it is. And a really great trick for me, I watched it in a TED talk. I don't know if you guys have heard of power poses.
I have, yeah.
And honestly, it is just this amazing thing where if you have your arms up like you're celebrating, or you stand in a Wonder Woman type of pose for 2 minutes, it brings your testosterone up and it lowers your cortisol, and you will, like, your chemistry is there to be more confident and to be more calm. And a lot of times when I'm going into an interview, or when a lot of time personally, like, phone calls make me nervous, sometimes just doing 2 minutes of a power pose makes such a big difference for me, because otherwise I lose track of what I'm saying, maybe stutter a bit on the phone, or just completely avoid the phone call. When I do this power pose, all of a sudden I have this confidence, and I've convinced myself, you know, it's not about convincing everyone else. I've convinced myself and I've broken that imposter syndrome. I really recommend it. It's definitely been a huge, huge benefit for me.
Wow, Emma, just dropping some gems. I hope our listeners caught that. I didn't even know about this whole pose. Wow, I have to actually look into this. But I feel like that's an awesome gem for our listeners to actually be able to take and try, because that's something that's key for helping you get over that imposter syndrome. But yeah, you know, as we kind of wrap up our conversation, I just wanted to really touch on this, because this has really been my focus for Elevate Her, is I was getting frustrated attending all these different events for women and feeling motivated, inspired in that moment, and having women as cheerleaders. And we do need that. But I remember always leaving these events, and after a few days, my high vibration would start to deflate. And that's just natural, because you're going back into the reality of your life, right? So in that moment of time, you had, you know, women around you, and you were just being able to network, but then you're left now after a few days deflated a little bit, and a week go by, and then you start feeling how you felt before you went to the event. So that's why I created Elevate Her podcast, because women need more. So I would love to go around tables that we can leave actionable advice to our listeners, real tips that they can do right now if they are experiencing imposter syndrome. And I will get the lovely Lisa to kick us off with the biggest gem ever for our listeners right now. What can our listeners do to just, like, tear down imposter syndrome right now? Drop that gem. Let's go.
Okay. I just wanted to touch on what we were talking about, the poses. Another thing that I learned was from Mel Robbins, and she has this high five. So you just stop what you're doing and give yourself a high five. You completed that task. High five yourself. Yes, I got that task done. You woke up feeling happy today. High five yourself. I woke up happy. I'm in a good mood. Today is going to be a good day. So you have to find those little things where you're just celebrating you, celebrating yourself for waking up, celebrating yourself for the little things. It doesn't have to be something major. It's just those little moments that you celebrate yourself and you high five yourself. And something that I think is important is just being self-aware. You don't always have to have out all the answers. You don't always have to get things right. Mistakes are okay. And we need to accept that we don't always make the right decisions. But instead of looking at failure as the opposite of success, look at failure as part of your journey, right? It's part of your success. So in order to be successful, it's going to require us failing at times. And I think if you just have that positive mindset and you just switch it to not looking at the mistakes as being detrimental, I think that's really important as well.
Yes, dropping these gems. So Lisa, I love that. Celebrate yourself. Yeah. I feel like women, we do not celebrate ourselves as much as we should. And I'm a victim to that. I actually just recently in 2020, I had a mind shift. I'm like, I'm doing so much. Why am I not celebrating my wins? These small little wins. Like that's so powerful, Lisa. Thank you for letting our listeners hear that. Because in this moment, pause right now. If you just did something really great in your life, it may be small to others, but huge for you. Celebrate it. Do a dinner. Call your friends over. Call your family over. You just maybe graduated from the insurance college. Call your friends. Celebrate it. So thank you, Lisa, because that's really, really huge for a lot of the listeners. Women need to celebrate each other more. And it's okay to celebrate each other. Like if you know somebody just got promoted or you know somebody just anything, go on LinkedIn, celebrate her, share her thing, right? So it's very important, right, as we go forward. Love to hear from you, Leanne. Let's drop some gems. What could our listeners do right now to be able to like tear down imposter syndrome?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that has worked for me is make friends with rejection. Rejection is not the end of the world. A no is not going to destroy you. If you apply to a job and they say no, and that's the worst thing that can happen, then I think that's a win. You know, ask for that raise, ask for that promotion, apply to that job, take a leap, go to an event where you usually wouldn't go. Just, you know, put yourself out there. That's probably the most important thing for me. Also, I find that a lot of the times I would spend so much time stressing about something when I can just do it and get it done quickly. So what I do is I give myself a 5-second countdown. I give myself 5 seconds to stress about it. After I count down, I have to do it. And that makes me more productive, makes me more confident, and allows me to get things done.
Love it. Again, more gems. Like if I was a listener, I'd have a notepad and pen and just taking out all these amazing gems, because these are actually real game changers. Thank you so much for sharing. And we'll end things off with you, Emma. Actionable tip for our listener at this moment that they're in. Maybe somebody's facing imposter syndrome. Maybe somebody is in college right now. I'm thinking about getting into the insurance industry. What would you have to say to them?
Definitely take the chance, you know, when you can. And if you're struggling inside to feel like you are there and you deserve something and you need more confidence, do it. When someone tells you to fake it to make it and you feel like you're faking it, but you're not making it, do the power poses. I really, really think they make all the difference. Leanne was saying, you know, mentors, they make a huge difference, having your cheerleaders. And, you know, a lot of us, I think, try to be superheroes and we don't want to ask questions or if we ask a question and don't understand the answer or don't have a complete answer, we'll just try our best. So I push people to go back and ask those questions, clarify, you know, don't be afraid to look stupid, because the more you put yourself out there, the more you're going to learn, the stronger relationships you build with people. You know, especially managers, when you are getting advice from them, they feel good. You feel good. You know, it's a positive thing. It's not something to be afraid of.
Awesome. Thanks, Emma, so much. That is so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like we've dropped so much gems for our listeners. And I'm going to leave this quote to our listeners. It's not what you are that holds you back. It's what you think you are not. Awesome. I wanted to take this time to thank my guests for coming and pulling up a chair to my table. I'm on an initiative this year to bring 500 ladies from the insurance industry globally to my table. I have room at my table, and I'm always happy to have women come and have a conversation. And I feel like today we had a great conversation addressing imposter syndrome. I hope this episode leaves you with wanting more and you are able to create more in your career other than that feeling of an emotional high. But you can actually use the actionable items that we spoke about today to really start to shift gears and build that momentum in your career. Again, thank you to my listeners, and thank you again to my speakers. Thank you for joining in Elevate Her podcast.